أنتم تستمعون إلى شبكة مايكس للبودكاست.
What's going on? Welcome to All Roads Lead to Saudi Podcast. Today we got some friends and special guests. We got the champ, three-time division, because last time
Three-weight division.
Exactly, both. Division and three-time.
Badu Jack, and then we got the homie Tam Khan, the Pashtun gangster. Welcome, bruh. And we got my co-host, Champs.
Thank you.
We here chilling, man. What's going on, brothers?
Alhamdulillah. It's a pleasure to be on this podcast. We've been connected quite a while. And it's the first time I actually met Muta in person. Yeah. We know each other for a long time.
True.
Obviously,
true.
I was a fan as a kid, you know? Not going to make him feel old. I'm probably older than you. But from
what's
his
age, bro?
Older, 42. 43 Sorry. Next year, inshallah.
I'm 47. 46. No, he just turned 47. I'm 46.
So that was my era, you know?
How'd you get connected, though?
I think social. We have mutual friends. We have a brother called Shamsi. Big shout out to our brother Shamsi in London.
And he got a brother named Badu Jack also.
I actually heard from Shamsi, I think, before. Because Shamsi and him, they're quite close friends in the Dawah scene.
Shamsi
always told me, there's a guy in Saudi you have to meet.
True. Also, my brother Mooney, you know what I mean? My brother Mooney met you a year ago or something like that.
The handsome brother, yeah?
I think you got him mistaken by me. I think you just got us confused. But
give me that 100 dirhams later, brother.
Then you got him confused with someone else. But but he met you. He met him first. Yeah. My brother met him first, you know what I mean? And then we got mutual friends. We got Shamsi. And I've been seeing you on social media, you know? So I was like, man, I got to follow this guy. I got to meet him. Yeah. But what's your height, bro?
I think 6'2".
I'm a beast.
Six foot two.
You
look bigger than that.
6'2", yeah.
Are you 6'1"?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Same tall dudes over here.
But I'll start with you, man. I had a few questions for you to start with, man. Obviously, 3-year world champion, without mentioning this. Like, how'd you get into boxing? Like, what was the spark that set this off?
I just like to fight. Not like that. I just like boxing. And, you know, a friend brought me to the gym back in the days.
Not many Swedish boxers either, right? Because you grew up in Sweden.
Yeah.
But your father's Gambian.
My father's Gambian, my mom's Swedish.
Mm. But you lived in Sweden your whole life, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, till I was like 27, I was in Vegas for 12 years.
Yeah,
last year I moved here to Dubai.
Dope.
Damn, bro.
Alhamdulillah.
Started the journey. Yeah. Tell me about you, bro. You used to be into MMA, right? I seen clips, bro.
Vicious.
I tried.
You gotta check him out.
I should stick to social media, but no. I was actually the first British Muslim MMA fighter. Sure. I think I started training in 99. Mm. I fell in love with the UFC. It was based in the US, 93, Hoyce Gracie. And subhanAllah, I used to watch your videos, and me and Hoyce are one of the best friends. So I learned off Hoyce, my coach Daniel Bazaar, and I started fighting at 2001, did competitions in pro. So before social media, you know, I missed that boat. And we didn't know what condition it was. We had one coach teach everything. We didn't know what running. We're like, watch Rocky movie, train and fight. So it was more just because I wanted to fight. I had to pay to fight, bro. Sometimes you get paid so bad, the petrol was costing more than the fight.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Even that big event store?
We had big events on Sky Sports. We had Sky Sports contracts. You see, mate, it was all televised. And that era, I've still got that network. So a lot of these guys came to the UFC or... in the background. So it was a good time, you know? It was a good time and it gave you that discipline you need in life as well. For me, sport does that.
Dope. But you still fighting UFC or you retired?
Nah, never fought in UFC.
MMA.
I don't fight, no.
MMA, I
train here and there. I train here and there, but it's disrespectful because the fight game, Badu will tell you, you have to be full time.
Yeah.
It's like a job. You have to wake up, train, how you eat, conditioning, recovery, physio, do all your blood checks, and then the day's done. So you haven't got time to even work. So you either choose that as a business or you got a business.
Is that why you just stopped?
Yeah, because you either got to go 100% into it or not. So I've got too many other avenues of business. So for me to do that is impossible.
I feel you. Yeah, you got to give it your all. Give it your all. You got to be disciplined.
I
haven't formally retired. I'd like to do an exhibition here and there, you know?
Nice.
But
MMA.
Yeah, MMA. Whatever, to be honest. Whatever is good. But because there's no feeling, like I tell every man, I don't mean it to the Muslim young youth, but as a man, you have to experience once in your life, to walk in that cage or ring. I can't explain. It's like a gladiatorial thing. Someone's trained 6 months. Sorry to swear, or kick your butt. And you do the same. It's not like the street. Half the street are drunk or they don't know what they're doing. When a guy is trained specifically to beat you up and you to him, it's a different kind of feeling.
Because it's discipline.
And he's brave and it's chess. It's on that day. Yeah. So, and when you win, it's the highest feeling, bro. When you lose, it's suicidal. You know what I'm saying? But subhanAllah, it's a thing which you can't, I can't explain.
I got a question, same for Badu as well, but how do you prepare? Because it sounds like a scary thing, right? You're going in there to fight somebody 100 kilos plus, like, what's the preparation like mentally and physically?
Well, I used to fight 84 kilo. I cut. I walk around 100, I fight 84. I think Badu does a big... Well, he doesn't cut anymore. He's gone to heavy nearly. Or cruiserweight. Almost. Light heavyweight. So, but cutting weight's also hard. Badu will tell you. If you cut weight wrong, this or this can even knock you out. It's how you rehydrate because the water to the brain.
Yeah.
So MMA is a big problem. People cut 10, 12 kilo.
Yeah.
So you need to get the right nutritionist, the right guys in your support group. But you're not fearful of the guy. It's your more pressure of your fans.
Yeah, if you're already afraid, you might not. It might be in the wrong sport. Yeah. But I remember Mike Tyson said something like that. He said, every time I go in a fight, I think he might just get a little butterflies. Nervous, you know what I mean? Yeah. He said, I get a little nervous. And he said, I'm scared. That's why I knocked the other guy out. Because
but it's all about how you can control your nerves. Fear. I have amazing nerves. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
I know how to control it. I love to be like nervous.
Under the lights.
I get excited.
Yeah.
You know,
he's got that. I was more of a better gym fighter. I couldn't do it under lights. It wasn't the guy. I didn't want the pressure of my family watching, friends. I'd be walking to the ring just saying high five to like my friends. Hey, what's up?
Yeah. I'm better in the fight than in the gym.
Oh, yeah. So that's a skill itself. Like that Uncle Tom, Floyd Mayweather said, under the lights is where it matters.
Well, what do you think that was, Tom? Like, why couldn't you transfer that from training to the fight?
It's just my attention. I've got ADHD. My attention's bad. You'll see I have tics. I'm always doing that. People think I've got a cocaine habit. I've never took a drug in my life. I have these down, issues.
Yeah, he ain't on drugs, brothers.
No, stuff I never touched anything in my life. But I had ADHD. So I can sit for about 5 minutes and I'm looking here, there. Well, Badu's more tunnel vision, you know, but like some people.
You have to be focused.
You have to be focused. It's the brain.
Badu focus,
That's Badu, man. I got like his highlights here. Like, super middleweight, Anthony Durrell. Then light heavyweight, Nathan Cleverley. And then cruiserweight, Makubu. So three weight world champion. I guess out of all them, what is the highlight? Was it the first world title? Was it the most recent one? Because you're getting
older. The first one is the first one. Oh. The last one was that. Moving up two weight classes. I started super middleweight, moving up, 30 pounds almost.
Yeah.
Wow.
And nobody believed in me. And I'm the second oldest champion in boxing right now. So, 39. I'm going to be 40 in 10 days. But,
Who was the first one?
The oldest champion? Yeah. I think it's Erislan Dilara. He's middleweight. He's the same age as me, but he's a couple of months older. So.
Okay.
So right now, he's the oldest. I'm the second oldest.
So the highlight was the first one today. The first one was the highlight.
I mean, the last one was, it was a knockout. The last two was knockouts. So
the Makubu fight was crazy. We were there.
I seen it. We were there.
For me,
what was your hardest fight though, bro?
Yeah.
What was your hardest fight in your career?
Know.
You were saying.
I don't know what's hardest. To be honest,
must be the Marcus Brown though.
With that lion blood coming out the head.
It wasn't really a hard fight. It was just I was bleeding. But you're a fighter. You got to. Suck it up and keep fighting. That's part of the game. You can get cut. You got to just keep fighting.
Usually they stop the fight, but some people was wondering how come they didn't stop that fight.
Yeah, the ref, it's my boy too.
Is the ref your boy?
Okay. Now they got to get
corruption in boxing.
He's Muslim.
He's
Tony Wiggs. Muslim.
Yeah, you did tell me that.
No, not that. He should have stopped the fight because he's Muslim, but he's my boy. But
that's his boy, so he wanted him to keep going.
The doctor, he can't stop the fight. He needs to go to the doctor. Doctor said, "I'm good." He asked me, "You good?" I said, "Yeah, I want to fight." I didn't want them to stop the fight. So that's good.
You went the full 12 rounds too, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
This happened in the fourth round, I think. Yeah. It was. It looked worse than what it was.
When it happened though, what are you saying to yourself? Like, how do you keep going? Or you just like adrenaline is going?
I'm thinking this guy that I fought. He never been on that level before. So I'm thinking I'm going to get him tired. I'm a slow starter anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to get him. I'm going to break him down regardless. Yeah. But I couldn't see. It was
crazy,
both of my eyes. Wow. So I could barely fight. I just fought on instinct.
How do they fix it? Just stitched up?
Yeah, they stitched him up.
About 20 stitches, I'm guessing.
No, like 100. Three layers. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, it was bad.
Man, it was a big...
No, it's crazy.
What was your hardest fight, you would say?
My hardest fight probably is outside the cage, to be honest.
That's what I was about to say. Inside or outside the cage?
Outside the cage, always with struggles. You have hardships, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like when I say to people, the good feeling to fight, but that doesn't necessarily mean people haven't had hardships. Everyone's hardships are different.
Yeah.
And my biggest test was something more personal, but Alhamdulillah, it brought me closest to Allah. So
Alhamdulillah.
This is the example we should show. When you have your worst times,
yeah,
that's when Allah says, come to me, or he wants to test. But also in your good times, a lot of the viewers, everyone prays when they got an exam or they have a loan, a bad time. But when everyone's living good, they forget Allah. Mm-hmm. So the people are the layman. So that's what I advise. Everyone stay close to Allah because everything's from him. And if you stay, your du'as can change your rizq as well. So you know what I'm saying? So always pray for what you're going to do. And whatever you do and you try your best, if it's not meant to be, it isn't. If it is going to be, it's to be. So.
Well, I was going to say something like, what shaped you? Because you seem like quite an alpha, strong guy, mashallah. So like, what kind of set your mentality? Like, is it like family background? Your parents are like this? Or like, what made you like this?
Where did the giant jeans come from? That's what we were
at. my mama's side, they're all big.
Afghans are real, bro.
Yeah. Afghan is the lions, bro.
But it's not even in this. It's Islamically, you know, like when you have stories of the Sahaba.
Taliban jeans.
Nah.
Taliban might kidnap over here. You try to do something, you get this dude.
No, it's just, alhamdulillah, bless the jeans. But it's not even about size and jeans. It's the mentality, you know? You could have someone 5'1". 10
that's
stone,
the domina, yeah.
It's
true.
The mentality. But as a Muslim and all Muslims listening, if you really truly believe in Islam and you study it and you have that iman, you will all have that strong alpha belief. I don't even like the word alpha because we have to take examples of the Sahaba, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and all these examples, Salahuddin, Khalid bin Walid. You see these characters, then you laugh when you see stuff like, you see a Mike Tyson, he's great to watch, but that's not wrong. Like, okay, he can box. See guys who are warriors or leaders like Abu Bakr or guys who, like, you know, real examples.
And
when you read that, my biggest hardship, Shamsi helped me a lot. So I was having a hard time. I was like, blame, why me? What did I do? And he's like, brother, look, read about Prophet Ayyub and the struggles they had. Then I realized, bro,
of course.
What stress
and
is there?
And everything for the believer, there's khaira in it. Like, whatever we go through hardship.
Exactly, you know?
I guess it kind of ties into what we're talking about, just Islam as well. I don't know, start with Badu, I guess, but like, how has Islam informed your career, I guess, you know? I mean, have you always been practicing from, as long as I've known you, I've always known you as a practicing brother, but have you always been like this, or did you, once you moved to Dubai, become more practicing? How's it informed your training?
It was probably like about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I've always been Muslim and stuff, but I never really practicing full time.
Yeah.
So, I had my first loss, a professional loss in boxing. I lost to a journeyman.
Yeah.
A little accident happened.
You're like 16-0, right? Or something, and then?
Something like that. Yeah. In 2014.
Yeah.
After that, I came right back. I became world champion two fights later. But it was after that, I started going to Jummah prayer little by little, slowly.
Yeah.
If you take a few steps, Allah, you start with Jummah
prayer, yeah?
Wow.
What is it?
But who was Muslim and your father's Muslim?
My dad,
right?
My dad's Muslim, yeah. So, but I grew up mostly with my mom, and she's not Muslim.
Okay.
Yeah. So, small steps, little by little.
Yeah.
And then I think it's 2015. My manager was one of my best friends.
Amr.
Came into Mala Amr.
Yeah. Amr Abdullah. Shout out to Amr.
He's a kickboxing world champion.
Yeah.
Good brother.
You know, his wife and my wife were best friends.
Yeah.
He's
Palestinian too, right?
Palestinian.
So,
he helped me a lot too.
Mashallah.
Allah guided me.
Because now I see you do Umrah every 2 weeks. Now you see
I think he might do Umrah like 10, 12 times a year. I would just say, mashallah.
Actually, the first time was December 21 during COVID.
That's the first time you did Umrah?
Yeah, I've done 7 or 8 now, I think.
You're catching up, mashallah.
You done Hajj?
I was going to do Hajj this year, but it was something with the visa.
We got stuck.
Next year, all of us were supposed
to be playing. Yeah, we were all thinking we were all supposed to be playing.
Inshallah, next year.
Inshallah.
And what about you, Tan? Like, how you start? Was you practicing your whole life, or did you?
Not practicing, but I've always been God fearing. I know, but laziness. I never touched a drug, alcohol. Never gambled. There's certain things I'll never do. Never been like, I was a thug, but I never would do criminal things, which is haram money. I knew everyone.
Doug Life.
I wouldn't do that. I could be a billionaire. You know? I never did that. I knew everyone. You know, they knew me, but
Alhamdulillah.
We always have our weaknesses, but it's all about upbringing and parents, in my opinion. You can live anywhere you want. Yeah. If the parents teach you to the right way and don't press you, but do it in a way where it's respectful. And my sister wore hijab herself without her choice as a teenager.
It started at home.
My mother taught me everything. I knew the stories of the Prophet as a kid. I knew every story. But then the older you get, the more responsible you get, and the hardships makes you close to Allah. So, alhamdulillah, for all the hardships.
Allah will if Allah want good for you, He take you through a hardship so that you can come to Him. Like,
I remember
some,
that this thing that happened a couple of 2 years, 3 years ago.
And so for me,
alhamdulillah, it made it closer.
Yeah. I'll wake up 6, 7 a.m. to watch Mike Tyson live in Vegas. Yeah. I won't pray Fajr.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'll wake up to watch UFC, watching a guy I've never met. He doesn't care about me. I'm paying his bills. And I won't wake up for Fajr. Imagine, I'm waking up to watch a guy, idolizing a guy. And I woke up and a brother told me this. And I'm like, bro, subhanAllah, what an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the feeling of just waking up to pray to your creator, that's a different kind of power. Exactly. You wake up, I mean, you wake up as Fajr specifically to pray to Allah.
Yeah.
That's powerful. You know, nothing else. We're tired, whatever. You get up and you have to force the alarm. You zoom, you get up. Pray, do you think? And you might go to bed or work.
Yeah,
so,
when did it change time? Like, when did you go from...
I'm praying here, but there, and I was fasting, but like, I'd be a Ramadan one, a Jummah Muslim. And in the last few years, I went to the point where in the last few years, I made a promise to Allah.
Yeah.
So obviously, I don't mean that harami, but like, I will never stray in a certain way. And this is it for me. Never, ever again. And I've tried. Like, obviously, you sin. But my point is like, that's it for me. Like, and alhamdulillah, I'm confident. If I go tomorrow, I'm confident where I've done my best. So some people are not confident. Yeah. I have friends go, you know, when a plane goes like that and they get nervous, I'm not, you know, they don't feel like, I'm a bit drinking me or I was raving yesterday.
Wow.
So, you know, like, and someone, another brother, I can't remember his name, told me, imagine dying in a state of fornication, doing zina.
Yeah.
Or in drinking you or club. Imagine dying at that point.
Yeah.
Scary, bro.
From this. You know, that's why the Prophet ﷺ himself used to say, Ya mukallib al-kulub thabit kalbi ala dinik. Oh, change of the hearts, keep my heart on your straight path. Because the heart changes. Mm. You know what I mean? So that's why we always have to ask Allah. Because a Muslim a Muslim should never feel he's at a level like you said, we should be afraid. Like, imagine if I die this
way.
We should be praying to Allah to keep us from dying
this way.
When
you become Muslim,
bro? When I became Muslim, a lot of people don't know I was born Muslim. I was actually born, but my mother and father, both of my parents converted to Islam.
Mm.
You know, my parents was followers of the Nation of Islam. When Malcolm X became Muslim, my parents became Muslim. But when I was 3, my mother and father got murdered in front of me.
They were Sunni Muslim before they passed?
They were Sunni Muslims when they got killed, alhamdulillah. Mm. So they got murdered in front of me. So the people that killed them was affiliated with the Nation of Islam.
Mm.
Let me make that clear, because sometimes people be thinking I said the Nation of Islam killed my parents.
Mm.
I think it was people who was affiliated with them that killed my mother and father.
Mm.
They're not Muslims though. That's not Islam.
Yeah, the Nation of Islam has nothing to do with Muslims. You know, they say Allah is a black man. A'udhu billah. You know what I mean? So when my parents died, my grandparents raised me and my brothers. And I remember the first time, I remember the first time going to my grandmother's house. I remember she made me get on the floor and pray like this. And I remember that felt weird.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They start making us do these prayers. So I went my whole life hearing my grandmother telling me Muslims out of her ignorance, you know, because back in the day, people didn't know about Islam. She used to say the Muslims killed your mother and father. So I used to say, look, I would never be a Muslim.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to be a Muslim. I'm definitely not going to be no Christian.
Mm.
I just, you know what I mean? Because I went to church and I couldn't feel like, how can I, nothing in the Bible tell me to pray to Jesus. Why am I praying to Jesus?
Yeah.
So I said, I can't be a Christian. Never would be a Muslim. They murdered my mother and father. I was ignorant.
Mm.
They know nothing. I said, I'm just going to believe in God. No, but with that mindset, I remember making excuses.
Mm.
I just said, yeah,
what
God.
What about a Jew?
Never. Your mother got to be a Jew in their religion anyway. They got to, you know what I mean? So I used to tell myself, like, when the problem is when you don't have any guidance and you say, I just believe in God, you start making up your own excuses. Like, I used to say, man, God gonna understand why I'm drinking this Hennessy.
Mm.
Like, I used to say, God gonna understand why, you know, because you make excuses. Like, he know we from the ghetto. Like, you know what I mean?
You're
not gonna forgive us. You know what I mean?
But like, uncles, were they Muslim? Like, cousins?
I had uncles that was Muslim. I had 3 uncles that was Muslim, I think. My brother remember more than me. We had my Uncle William. He was Muslim. He passed away. I remember as a kid, he used to come around, big beard, pants above his ankle, my Uncle Wali Muslim, but they never told us about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They never told us about Islam. You know what I mean? So I grew up just, we was wild, running the streets and stuff like that. And it wasn't until, I think, 2002, I was intoxicated out of my mind in the studio. I got into a fight with my little brother and it was a Muslim who stopped the fight. Shout out to Mikhail.
Yeah.
He was a black American Muslim. He stopped the fight. And I don't know if you guys know, you guys from the UK, you remember Seal, the guy with them cuts on his face?
Yeah, Kes from Rose.
Yeah, Kiss,
Kiss
from a
Rose. Remember Seal?
Oh, Seal, the singer, yeah.
You know we did a song with him, by the way.
Outlaws and Seal.
Bro, Seal was my man. It was the time. It was the time I was hanging. Nah, I don't think he was, but it was the time I was hanging with Seal. Yeah. Every week he called me like, yo, Seal was a little gangster. He called me like, Napoleon, come to the studio. I go up there, hang with him until
he one. A legend, man.
And shout out to Bone. Bone crazy. He messes up for me. I don't know if y'all know Bone from Training Day. You know, Bone is from Training Day.
The movie.
Yeah, the movie Training Day. Training Day, you probably know, but Bone, he a real, you know, street dude.
He's a blood, right?
He's affiliated with the Athens Park. He was a real street dude. So one day I messed up by calling Bone. He's like, "Where you at, Mo?" I said, "I'm in the studio with Seal." This is why you can't be bringing certain homies around certain people. And he came and scared the hell out of Seal. He was in there acting like a gangster. Seal was getting nervous, like, "What's?" And I seen it, and I'm looking like, "Oh man, this is my connection with Seal is messed up." I brought a blood to the studio. This is
he charged you for it? No, Seal was
he didn't. So go back to that. So what happened is the guy who stopped the fight was doing music for Seal, and he already hooked us up to do a song with Seal. So when he stopped me from fighting with my brother, he was like, "Look, we're not going to charge you. Still not going to charge you to do the song, but I need a favor from you." No, he said, "I need you to repay me in one way." I said, "What?" He said, "Come to the mosque." I'm like, "Man, what do you mean come to the mosque?"
I've never been
to
LA?
Yeah, this was in LA. I've never been to a mosque in my life. You know what I mean? But he was calling me. So one day I said, "You know what? This dude stopped me from fighting my little brother. Let me just take his invitation." The mosque was in South Central LA.
Yeah.
So I remember I took a load of gun with me. Imagine you thinking Muslims, I don't know. Took a loaded gun with me, went up there with like 30 friends, 30 of the homies, and we went to this mansion in South Central, and I walked in, and I seen white people, black people, Pakistanis, Arabs. So that caught me off guard, because I'm Africans. I'm like, wait a minute. Because in church, you only see all black church, or white church, or Asian church. So I'm like, why is all these different nationalities here? And everybody, they hugging each other, and they brothers. I'm like, this is strange. You know what I mean? So, but I got more attracted to it. So prayer time come. He told me to pray with him. I never prayed before. So I just, I see them do, I was doing. And then something, I said, "Man, I need to just read about it. Give me literature." And I remember driving home, 30 minutes, 40 minutes outside of LA. And I opened like some literature. I couldn't stop reading it, bro. Like, damn, like I opened a book. I call it, "Give me the Quran." And like, and I just got addicted to this. And a couple of days later, I was like, "Man, I want to become Muslim."
Alhamdulillah.
Shout out to Macau.
2002.
Got to give a shout out to our sponsors, by the way, man. They got some amazing coffee. And they located in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Some banging coffee, bro.
Yeah, yeah, by the way, it's the one, bro.
By the way, this coffee is... It's all right.
But I just want to pick up on where we left off. So one of the things I saw on Joe Rogan's podcast, he was talking about how Muslim athletes have an advantage because of the discipline that Islam gives them, number one. And number two, about their belief in Qadr, that the result is almost kind of taken care of. So they come into the ring with a sense of, not peace, but I guess calmness about what's about to unfold. Like, what are your thoughts on that? Both, you know, you both fought, you're both still involved in fighting.
I mean, you're preparing the gym, your whole camp, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen. Allah is the best planner.
You operate with that mindset though, like,
yes, you just gotta do your best and pray to Allah that He's gonna forgive you, protect you. You know, that's it. You just gotta go in there and then, you know, you can pray for your opponent too, that he come out safe, we can go back home to our families, nobody get, you know, seriously hurt. Even though it's kind of double standard, because you're trying to knock
him out. You want to do,
knock him out and then we're still friends after, like the Makabu. Took him in the locker room. I just want to make sure he was okay. He was okay, and you know, he's my African brother. Regardless, we just fight.
He came into like Mother Africa. I think the song name of the song.
But he said he was gonna break
African
my.
He's the one. You know, he ain't said you was his African brother. He said I'm gonna break your head.
Yeah, he said he was gonna break my jaw, break my nose, break my face, and everything.
He did say
that. All
right, we'll see.
You give him the African Muslim power. That's what we work with. But a quick question, man, because when you first found out that you was going to fight in Saudi Arabia, did you have mixed feelings about it? How did you feel about it?
No, so that was my second time fighting. But
the first time, fight, was you happy?
I was happy. I was really happy because boxing is growing in this region. And that was on a big card. That was in Anthony Joshua Usyk card in Jeddah. It was a big event. So I was really happy. And then the second time in February, I became the first Muslim to ever win a champion in the Middle East. Championship in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I see.
Boxer, I guess.
First boxer to win a world champion, become a world champion.
In the Middle East.
In the Middle East and in Saudi. So Yeah, that was a blessing, but...
So you coming back? What about you? You got your gym, you got your other businesses. You know, because Saudi, the future, I believe, you know, a lot of big things happening in the Middle East, you know, and UAE and collegiate countries. But as an individual living in Saudi for 13 years, I'm witnessing the change. Mm. And I seem like Saudi and this region going to be the future. You got your gyms, you know, now people are working out. You got people, you know, doing exercise. They becoming more health conscious in Saudi. When I first moved to Saudi, we just wanted rice and chicken. Rice and land, no exercise.
And he got the best. He got the best restaurant in Dubai. Yeah, Charcoal DXB. Yeah,
so you plan on coming to Saudi with your...
No, I'd love to. First of all, it's amazing to see the Middle East, GCC especially, thriving. You know, like when I first moved to Dubai nearly 16 years ago, people were like, why are you going there? It's a desert, you know? And the West used to kind of mock the Arabs, you know?
Yeah.
Now
it's,
in a funny way, it is the West. I don't know, you know what I mean? The Middle East is the new West.
Yeah.
And that feels like the East, the West, you know? It's about, like, I went to LA, I went to the States, and little things I noticed, the service compared to here or the GCC is so bad.
Yeah.
Amazing place, I got to say. California, I loved it, the sunset. There's things amazing about it, but small things you get spoilt here, service, the people, the safety, the malls, the restaurants, the portions is unbelievable.
Yeah, they gave you the biggest portions in the world.
It's, it's unbelievable.
Well, the U.S. have pretty big portions too, though.
Yeah, but the quality, big fat. You know? And I think it's just amazing to see with sport, with entertainment, with culture, with whatever it is, whatever aspect of industry is, it's just thriving.
You think it's going to take over time? Like, there'll be less fights in Vegas, more in Abu Dhabi, Riyadh?
I think Saudi and the Middle East is the capital of the fight world right now. Dana White said when Fight Island happened in COVID, Abu Dhabi saved the UFC. Mm. And Dana White, like when he came out and said that. So I think the future's here. Look at boxing. Look at football. Cristiano Ronaldo, Neymar. I mean, when would you hear that?
Benzema, you know what I mean? Like now
PGA.
Everybody's moving it. They say, Habibi, come to Dubai. Everybody start coming.
Everybody here.
Well, that's one of the things, right? So even now, PIF, they invested $100 million in the PFL. They're going to start doing fights in Saudi. UFC Fight Night as well. Tom probably knows more about that stuff than us, but that's going to happen now in March.
Riyadh season.
So I guess it seems like it's coming this way.
WWE.
Yeah, that's next week, I think.
AKA the rap world.
Yeah.
WWE.
Yeah.
F1. Golf, F1. You have everything, no?
What do you think it needs to do, though, to really grow? Because obviously, on a lot of these shows, it's the kind of Tyson Fury, these big international fighters. But like yesterday, we saw, is it Muhammad Yahya? He's Emirati. So how can we get more? Like in Saudi, we've got Zizou. So how can we get more? What do they need to do to grow it?
Time, sabr, patience. These big shows, you need to do that to entice the young kids. You can't just start from the grassroots with nothing.
They
need a vision. They need to see a Badu Jack, Usyk, AJ, Fury. Have people to look up to and go, okay, one day I can do that. And then slowly when you bring these big shows, then you start opening small gyms, local coaches. It takes time, but when you have a fight haven, with this introduction, you're going to get Western stars living there.
You might get a
famous like an Angelo Dundee or a Freddie Roach move there one day and start an academy.
You never know how it grows.
I think they got to start with like smaller shows too, not just the mega events. Yeah. They got to start slow to have both the smaller events and the big events.
I think, but the big event makes the smaller ones have a vision.
Have to be balanced. You have to have
it's
a
like
vision.
It's like training without, if people say, if you haven't got a fight, why would you train? You know, like that's why a lot of boxers, when they retire, they get fat or MMA fighters. Because they've done it. They've got no timeline. What am I training for? No exam.
Also, you need a network. A network that shows the fights. Like a Middle Eastern network.
I'm sure that's coming. You know what I mean?
What if Mike Tyson's opening a gym in
Mike
Riyadh.
Tyson will open a gym
and
in
Riyadh.
And
I guess Tom is probably the best person to speak about it because your gym, when did TK open?
2016. 15 December.
MashaAllah, so coming on to 8-9 years.
Have you seen Mike got to get the rights to Saudi.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to have a female section and a male section in Saudi, bro. Yeah.
But have you seen, what's the kind of profile of gym goers? Like, do you see locals come to the gym? Yo, these guys are funny, bro.
I love him. He's got a nickname,
But do you see a profile? Do you see resident, like, locals coming to the gym? Emiratis?
Many Emiratis, many Arabs in the GCC. Obviously, traditionally, the guys used to like combat with the North Africans. Traditionally, if you look at the demographic who are more into combat and sport,
Moroccans,
Algerians, Tunisians, Egyptians, Then you got the Russian, the Kafkas, we've got many of those here. Chechens, Dagestanis, they're really talented. Real. You have 5-year-old kids walking like this, you know? It's different.
It's they blood, I think.
They're bred differently. Mm. But now, you've seen with the likes of Mohamed Yahya, we have boxers. Issa Aldar used to be a pro boxer like 10, 12 years ago. And it's starting to build. And because of the TV networks, like Badu says, Abu Dhabi Sports pushes UFC. It's huge. Mm. And if you saw the UFC, I was there live yesterday, it was packed.
Crazy.
MRI is screaming. Like, it was crazy. They were chanting UAE.
Yeah.
They were chanting UAE. And they were also chanting Free Palestine as well, the whole crowd.
Oh. Wow.
So, like, it was just amazing atmosphere.
When I told people I'm here, I speak to Badu Jack, Tam Khan, and everybody's like, asking this. So, fight fans in Saudi, it's a big...
I think Saudi's been slept on when it comes to that. You know, the good thing about Saudi...
I'm not a fighting star anyway. I'm just... People know me on TikTok and stuff. Badu's a fighting star. I don't know why they're asking about me. You know, I just, you know what I mean?
But you're growing the sport, right? Like, you're contributing to the growth.
Yeah, I was growing the sport. Yeah, no, I helped to pioneer MMA a lot in the UAE. Like, I came, we opened the first full-time MMA facility ever in the Middle East. Mm. And we the first ever octagon cage I had in the whole Middle East at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, he got the best gym in Dubai.
His gym is beautiful. Yeah, we took a walk through the gym. Yeah. Me, Chance, we seen it. Yeah. We on the roof. You know what I mean? It's like, beautiful, mashallah.
First time I was 2017 and when I came here, Tam connected us with everybody in the whole city.
Yeah.
His gym is amazing and Now they got barbershop, he got restaurant, everything in there.
Mashallah.
I've got a barbershop, but better go to another one.
Yeah.
There's one barber I can't get out of a barber
shop. You gotta be loyal, you know.
Barber,
he's
I'm not gonna lie, he's the best barber in Dubai. He's not with me. I've been trying to entice him. Jay Fade. I'm not gonna say the barber shop though. I'm trying to entice him, offer him crazy money to come. He's just a good kid.
I used to go to MK barbershop. Y'all gotta check it out. Musa Khan, man.
Musa's the man.
Is he the Richie Vibes guy that just moved over?
We finally got a barbershop, that type of style barber in Saudi. But we're not used to that in Saudi. Like Saudi, we used to just it's a simple life. You know what I mean? That's what I love about Saudi though, because it's simple. Like,
I like it.
You know what I mean? So when they come and say the haircut is $60-$70, even rich Saudi's not used to paying it. Like, so the guy Richie was saying, you gotta tell Saudi why they paying this amount. He said, they don't just throw their money here. You gotta explain to him, like, because I did this, I did this. And then he said, oh, now it makes sense. Here you go.
I was saying about the MMA thing. So would you get involved in another capacity, you know, like promotion, managing? Would you
I do that.
You do that as well,
I manage many athletes like Yahya. I manage and I promote shows and
he had his own event.
I do events.
Social knockouts, all the influencers here in Dubai.
Social knockout I did, Adam Salis. Slim. Slim's one of the biggest fighters.
He just knocked some dude out.
Slim 7-0. I helped build his career. Willie Sharks and all these guys. We had rappers like DaBaby and Giggs perform. We had made it a mega show.
Big, mashallah.
But before that, I did Dubai Fight Championship. I launched the first ever MMA promotion here in 2011. So we did MMA and things. So yeah, I like promoting. I like managing. But I don't... It's a passion. I just enjoy being around the sport, you know?
And I did... Was it the first pay-per-view event in Dubai? I think, but it wasn't no big show.
It was a streaming thing.
The first pay-per-view at Five Palm Jumeirah, our sponsor, our hotel. We did in 2019 by the Jack Promotions, kickboxing and boxing. It was no big event, but it was...
That's dope, though. But you know what, Champ? Because I always call him Chance, my man right here. But you know the good thing about you, bro, because you be knocking heads off, but you real humble. That's a good thing. He picked us up from the airport. Chance was like, man, this is a
WBC
WBC champion picking us up from the airport. It's not he don't have a fake belt that they made in Compton or Crenshaw. This dude got a real belt.
I'm not really social. I'm sociable, but I'm literally work, family, chill, restaurant, same thing. Mm. Badu's one of the only guys I'm close with because he's same, and he's on Dean. I'm never arrogant, smiling. He's never in a mood. We can just cuss each other and have fun. Like, not in a bad way, I'm saying but you know?
Yeah.
And it's a vibe. It's very important,
joking,
I think.
Like, get along, like, have a good time.
To have good brothers around you who are positive and not secretly envious. Like, you know, when Badu wins, like, we're all screaming on the TV. Like, I wasn't in Saudi. I was annoyed. I really wanted to go, you know? For certain reasons. But when you're happy for a brother, it's good to see, you know? Because I remember when they first moved to Dubai, and we're trying to... He was getting bored, I think, of the States, and we're looking at plans. Even Amir, alhamdulillah, I'm so proud to see how he's become the man, like the Eddie Hearn of Saudi. Like, it's crazy, bro. And, you know, when I see him on, like, a boxing pod in UK, I'm like, yeah, it's my friend. Like, it's good to see, you know? It's good to see brothers do well.
Good brotherhood.
Push it. And it's good to see. And want for what yourself, want for your brother, what you want for yourself.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people miss that, you know? It's not good in the West. And even brothers, I have some people you can see in their eyes, and that's why, you know, you have to just keep private, because that Nazar can harm you.
You keep private, you do your ad card, you put your trust in Allah, you live your life, man. Mm. You know what I mean? You just can't.
Just because I got a belt or something, I'm not better than you. Mm. I might be better to fight than you, but we're all the same. I don't have to, you know, shotgun.
But that's good.
We're all brothers.
Good,
you know we're all the same.
Of course,
white,
you gotta
black,
be.
Green, yellow.
Because when you go to that grave, none of this stuff poor. Gonna happen. None of that stuff gonna mean nothing exactly. to us in our grave. Nothing. You know what I mean?
And back to Saudi. Sorry to interrupt. That's what when I first went to Umrah. That's like, I know it sounds corny. I'm Muhammad Ali, said I'm Malcolm X, but then I was realizing when I was sitting there, I was just, you know, praying nafil and doing some dhikr, and I was watching. I was thinking, you're right. When you wear that rope, the white two piece of rope, no one knows who's rich there. No one knows who's. Mm. We don't know. That could be a janitor leading the prayer, or you know.
Of course.
So like, it makes you. That's the beauty of Islam. Like every color, every creed. No one knows who's a CEO. I think that's what Allah does. That's why their dress is like that. It's humbling.
Yeah, true.
We don't know who's rich, who's poor, who's lost a kid.
Everybody's equal, sir.
Yeah, and it's just that's powerful, bro. Like you know, and when you pray that, and you don't think of anything else, and there's no perfume used. You're just all like in natural state.
Yeah, it's touching, bro. So, I remember the first time I went to Hajj, it was in 2002. Mm-hmm. I was Muslim for only like 2-3 months. And this is before social media, so you can Google anything. You know, they just kept telling me you're going to a desert. Like, I'm really thinking it's a desert like the old school movies because there's no
Sahara
pictures.
Desert, yeah.
Yeah, they like, you're going to the desert. You got to be in shape. I remember I went and got shape. I went, before I knew it was haram, I was trying to get life insurance because I thought I was going to never come back. Like, I might go over there and die. And then they was like, man, I was so in shape. They was like, man, you have a body of a professional football player. They still denied it, the life insurance. I said, why? They said, because you're going to a country where there's a lot of wars, so we can't give you life insurance. Alhamdulillah, I'm glad I didn't do it because it's not permissible. Mm. So when I got there, I seen like big buildings. Like nice homes. I'm like, man, why they was making it seem like I'm just gonna be in the middle of a desert? You know what I mean? And then you see, I was shocked because you seen people from Africa, you seen people, white Muslims, you seen Asian Muslims, and they don't know you, and they like, Tafadhal, come eat with me. That really blew my mind because imagine just 6 months ago I was in a death row studio, so now I'm in I'm in the middle of a desert, meeting people I never met before, saying eat with me. You know what I mean? Come drink with me. It really, man, it was touching. You know what I mean?
Is it true that Shug is a Muslim?
He told us he took Shahada, man. But I think, you know, knowing Shug, man, Shug crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Every week he say, like, he just say some crazy stuff. Yeah. You know, he told us, like, it was me. I don't think my brother was around, but it was me, one of the young princes in Saudi, but he's, mashallah, he's very religious.
Yeah.
He was like, man, let's go get some dawah with the Shug. Let's get some dawah with the Shug. And another, a friend of mine is like black Saudis. A lot of people don't know you got multinational Saudis. Yeah. So we went and we seen them and we started giving them dawah. We brought them books. Yeah. Brought them some, like we got pictures with them holding the Quran with the black Saudis. It went viral all over the internet. So when we started giving them dawah, like, Shug, man, so you should take Shahada. But he kind of crazy. Now that I think about it, he's like, you know what, man? I took Shahada. I became a Muslim and, when I was playing football in college. And he's like, you know, I fast for Ramadan and everything. And this is what I thought he was playing because he's like, let me tell you something. So, you know, they say that the pig is not good to eat. This is what I knew he was crazy. This is what Shug said. He said, they say the pig not good to eat. But I know a lady, she was going to die, and they gave her some pig vial in her heart. Then why did pig save her life? And I said, man, this God nuts. You know, he just come and make up all types of stuff. Yeah. So I hope he took Shahada, but I think he just told me crazy, bro.
Anyone of the other man, like, death row people that became Muslim?
From death row, I would say...
Edie
and them, I think they was confused. You know, some people take Shahada, they don't learn the religion of Islam, they walk away, may Allah guide them back. But you know, Islam on the West Coast is not the same as East Coast. It's changing now. West Coast is dominated by gang culture.
Yeah.
Them jokers care more about their gang than anything else. Now, alhamdulillah, they finally changed some laws in the prison. Like before, you couldn't, more than 3 people in prisons in LA, they couldn't congregate. Now they changing the law where they let you have Jumu'ah prayers and you see Mexicans, white and blacks getting along. Because when you go to, you locked up in LA, you separated by race. Like the Mexicans got to hang with the Mexicans, the white. Now Islam is changing that where they allowing people to mix together, giving dawah. But, you know, it wasn't like East Coast where you go in Philly, Jersey, New York, you see women with niqab, brothers with thobes, you know, people on the West Coast, because of that gang stuff, I think it just really had them separated. But now it's coming. So I don't know really too much people from Death Row, I'm sure. Both of Suge Knight's sons accepted Islam. Then you get one Shahada, Mooney? Yeah, my brother gave one of them Shahada. I think I gave I might have gave one or something like that. So
you get the Wu-Tang, Knight Jr. Right?
Yeah, Raekwon, I gave him shout out of person. Well, Allah make Muslims, not to say that I part of only Allah make the Muslims, you know what I mean? But Raekwon is Muslim. But two of Suge's sons are Muslim. You know what I mean? And even when I talked to him, I told him like your sons are Muslim. But man, Allah guide him back. Like Suge just be saying all types of stuff, man.
But I do want to ask you, man, just going back to Saudi. What do you think? So I spoke to Tam earlier about growing MMA in the region. What do you think about boxing? Because obviously Saudi now, we had obviously the Raging of the Red Sea. Did you fight on that? I think you fought on that.
Yeah.
And you fought obviously in February. And in 2019, we had the Joshua Ruiz fight. So obviously there's a lot of big events happening. Obviously you've got Fury and Ngannou as well. So what do you think needs to happen in Saudi for it to really grow and kind of take over boxing?
So the new guy that's taking over, he looks like he has a vision of the 2030 vision of Saudi is all the big events, all the big fights going to happen in Saudi.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's great, not just for Saudi, for the whole region.
Yeah. And what do you think they need to do to really get a lot of Saudi boxers? Because I think we have Ziad right now.
He might be the only one,
But I think there must be some others, but he's the most popular, I guess.
Yeah.
But how can they get more through? How can they get Saudi world champions?
Just more fights, more events. You got to build. It takes time.
Gyms.
It takes a lot of time. Gyms.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, these fighters, like most fighters be starting off as kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of, they start training as young kids and stuff. So maybe in the future.
I started when I was 18.
That's rare. Like him starting at 18 and stuff like that is rare. But most of the people, they started off as kids. The Saudi, once they get to that level, when you see like a young 7-8-year-old Saudi in the gym, then you're going to probably start seeing some champions.
Next generation.
You know let's see the Mike Tyson gyms opening soon, I guess. So.
Yeah, true.
That'll be the start of it.
Yeah.
What's it like fighting in Saudi?
It's amazing. It's the motherland for all the Muslims. So I had a lot of support.
The vibe must be different, right? Because in these other stadiums, obviously, they got alcohol and all these crazy things. But in Saudi, there's none of that. But the vibe is still
but
good.
They as loud as the British.
Yeah, we just need coffee. The Muslims need coffee and dates. And we be loud like we going to see.
With coffee and dates. But the Makubu fight and the Makubu fight.
Makabu.
Saying that wrong. But the vibe was amazing, man. The atmosphere.
Yeah, that
was actually the real main event. It was Jake Paul and the Tyson Fury's little brother.
Yeah, Tommy Fury.
As far as the real boxing, elite fighters, that was the main event. But it did great pay-per-view number wise. So that fight helped. Me and my fight helped them too. So
what's your thought on YouTube boxing, man? That's a dangerous question I know these days, but
I mean, I think it helps because a lot of people, especially social media, these young generation, people like saying, oh, that's the guy that walked KSI to the ring, and they talk about me, a world champion.
Well, no way.
They said that's the guy that walked him to the ring, for example. Mm-hmm. So new generation, they all started becoming boxing fans. So I think it's a good thing.
That's true because the new generation, they all about social media.
Yeah.
Like if you want, they go to the numbers. If you don't got a certain amount of followers, you don't get, that's their mindset. You can knock 30 people out in 30 days, but if you don't have a little, the mindset is who, like he said, they said with KSI, they think. It's deep now in the new generation.
They're making crazy money too. Like the production on the... who was last week? It was Logan Paul and... Logan Paul and Dennis.
That MMA fighter or that UFC fighter.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the funniest fight but even Jake Paul, boxing, I think.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Even Jake Paul, I heard he made like $30 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, and bro. He has 5-6 fights and he only fought one boxer.
It's a different time we're living in.
Yeah, it's a different time. Like, he did something right.
Yeah.
As far as... Yeah. His talent and boxing wise, maybe he's not all that, but what he's done in social media to become a boxer and he trains hard. So people hate it. A lot of people hate him, but he's doing his thing. He's making money and
but he looks good though compared to the rest of them. Like if you look at all the other ones,
he's probably the best out of them. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. You fought in the same corner. Tom, what do you think about this? You think it's good or bad?
Of course it's good because it brings more eyes to real boxing. And I'll disagree. I think they're worth the money. Why? Because look, when you're a promoter, and Amel will second this, you're putting all these costs in, these pay, every cost and how it goes into a fight.
Yeah.
And you've got like you said, I can go to Dagestan, fill up a card of killers, and there'll be everyone in the West. But when he's got a big beard and he just does this and he can't talk, I come crush you. He don't sell up, no one cares.
Yeah.
But when you've got a guy with pink hair, tattoos, he's hanging around the Nelk boys, he's doing this. I know him from that, and I know from a podcast. So it's about numbers. So these, like you said, broadcasters, they need those numbers. That's why they hold on so much to McGregor. Yeah. And he has like they hold on to him.
McGregor,
or
crazy personality.
Yeah, he sells. Like, he sells. Yeah, he market himself. Right?
They need the sales. Mm. Without them, to, it's about numbers. It's a business, you know. So you got these guys behind the corporations saying, "Where's this? Where's that?" So when you get this, for example, BTW. By the way, you put this on a canvas. Yeah, they're paying for exposure. Yeah. If you've got five guys who can't sell.
Yeah,
that exposure is like 200 people. They go, "Great, well, I'm gonna pay $50,000 to put on that thing." But if Jake Paul fights. That highlight is going to be on the internet for years and this, that, and that. Brand's everywhere.
True, it is a business.
So I get why they get paid. They're bringing that. But obviously, bar Jake Paul, maybe, and they're not really that level. But I think people like Badr and these boxers should use them as well. Say, look, we've done the hard work. Let me use you. I like the way
it's intertwining. We help each other.
Yeah, he's got no ego. So I like the way he was with Jake Paul on that card. I think more boxers keep the ego out. You should do it because... You're going to get young kids to be boxing fans and boxing fans become, I don't know.
At first, they was like, by the way, you're going to be the co-main. I was like, I'm not going to fight no co-main event to Jake Paul. Even the Mike Tyson show. So I was going to be the co-main event. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones.
Roy Jones, yeah.
Yeah, because Mike Tyson won. He said they want me on the card, the co-main, to help sell the fight. I was like, all right, done deal.
Yeah.
And then Jake Paul came in and fought that basketball player. And they said, he's going to be before Mike Tyson. I said, what? Cool. I said, no, Thriller, the app, the one of that. Mike Tyson wanted me, of course. But I was like, I'm not going to fight. Then I was like, whatever, it is what it is. And now I fought the co-main event at world title fight before him. But
it's strategic. It helps. So
still getting paid.
It's a new time we live in.
The real boxing fans that you know, they know who's the real fight. But it helped both guys. So. Yeah, I'm not mad.
Real talk. It's business at the end of the day.
How come boxers, so you see a lot of boxers, they kind of, not get robbed, but you see a lot of boxers, they leave the sport, they don't have no money, they're broke.
So
what advice would you give to boxers that
want
to...
Athletes in general.
Maybe athletes in general,
you could say. Boxers.
But boxers, you see a lot though.
Basketball players.
Yeah.
Because boxing, most people come from the bottom, especially in the States, from the hood.
Yeah.
They don't have no education. All they know is how to fight or being a good athlete. So, a lot of people spend money on stupid stuff, on jewelry and partying, dumb kids, So, just got to be smart with your money, invested. And,
good team around you probably.
Have a good team. Have a small team. You don't need 40 people around you.
Yeah, but
everybody look at Floyd and think that Floyd just he was born with all that money. No, he worked.
Yeah,
but that's like a 1%, bro.
Yeah.
Both sports will make
money.
But
everybody think they can be like Floyd. But Floyd was a killer when he...
Like in the sport of boxing, man, you don't make money unless you're this level.
Yeah.
What are you going to save on?
Yeah.
You make 5,000, 10, 15, 20... It's going to be gone in a few months. You can't buy anything with that. So when they retire, a lot of the guys, they get depressed and they keep fighting. That's why they get these brain diseases because they cannot do anything. They don't know what to do after. Like, what's there to do with some of these guys from the street? Like, they can't, I feel sorry for them.
You got to be a fighter either. It's a real fight. It's dangerous. Yeah. You can't look at guys like Ryan Garcia or all that stuff. Got to be fancy. You got to put in that work.
You can't fake it. You can't fake boxing.
These guys, Hamza, Badr, obviously, you're active as well. Do they get advisors, investment advisors? What do these people do with their money? What do these high level athletes do?
Everyone's different, everyone's their own man. Some are produced and manufactured. Some are real, like Hamza and Badr. They know what to do, but not everyone's Hamza and Badr. Not everyone's gonna make that money, bro.
You gotta invest your money to get that level.
You have to be elite. People think this sport is not easy, bro. There's millions of people trying it. Mine, 0.1% will ever be that name. So
a lot of people don't make that big money either.
They want to be on an amateur show, my show. So when we say this, it's not easy. People watching, I'll be a champ. Watch YouTube. Believe me, it's very hard. You have to put that work and you might not make it even get on one show. So when you see Hamza, that's the elite. Let's not even talk that level. Let's go to levels you've seen on these undercards. What are they making? A few thousand dollars?
People inboxing me, young kids, my whole career, what advice do you have? I kind of want to say, pick another sport.
You might tell them that. People ask me about rap, I tell them, bro, I give them the truth about the rap, bro. It's this and it's this and this and that. If you have education, maybe you be able to get a good job or start your own business and your career be longer than being a rapper.
I say have a good team and you don't believe in yourself. That's my biggest advice.
They come to me, I say, don't do it. Be a personal trainer. Really? Yeah, I say, do it as a passion.
Yeah.
But get into fitness. I know PTs are making $20,000 a month and they're fat. Easy, easy. No, here.
Damn, bro.
Yeah, personal training.
That's like a skinny chef.
You enjoy
chef,
the sport.
I don't trust you.
You do
a skinny chef. We can't trust you.
Then you can go online banking, online clients, and you can do courses. Yeah. Then you can get a group training. You might get a corporate. So to you guys out there, unless you'll know if you're elite. Someone will tell you, don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time. Don't watch Rocky movies. It's fake. No, no. But we all do that. We all want to be that. Yeah. I was quite a good level. I couldn't look, but you can't make it. It's not easy. It takes a lot. And only luck, the minor few. Just because we're close, it's not easy. What he's doing, you cannot get like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Trust me, you don't understand the millions of rounds of sparring, hard work, getting knocked down, coming up, struggling.
Yeah.
Problems with your wife, not seeing the kids enough, missing things, bro. It's not easy, even if you have a family.
Yeah, injuries.
And then you got to worry about things and
training
fight might cancel. Expensive. You might train in the
management
fight cancel.
Management problem. It could be so much things.
Bro, it's not easy. But
it's a dirty business.
Recommend all those kids.
Yeah.
Be a personal trainer. Get into the industry of another way, avenue. And if you make it, it's a bonus. But you've got something to rely
back up. Yeah, that's what's important. You got to have something to fall back on. Because what if you injured? Like the same with basketball players. Once they get injured, then their career is over. What you going to do after that? You have to have something to fall back on.
Yeah.
So my advice would be, like right now, since this era is the social media era, build up your following to start with. Yeah. Because all the sponsors, everybody, you know, they're looking for
followers.
For numbers.
Yeah,
numbers.
Followers. Yeah.
Yeah. But obviously, first, learn how to fight and protect yourself.
But what's your plan, Badu? Now, obviously, I'm assuming you're coming towards the end of your career. Like, what's your plan going forward? Like, are you going to be involved? I mean, do you have business? I don't know. But, like, will you be doing stuff like this? Like, what's your plan?
Yeah, I have my promotional company and we're working on some other business deal outside of boxing. But, yeah, I'm going to be 40 in 10 days.
MashaAllah.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah. So,
inshallah.
I have a few... few more fights, I still feel fresh. Like I said, I'm the second oldest champion in boxing right now. But it's all about how you live your lifestyle. You can't just be a fighter, you know, 8 weeks before training camp. No, you need to be, it's a lifestyle. The whole year around, you gotta stay active. You just gotta stay focused and be in shape.
Yeah.
Off season, everything.
Yeah, that's all.
Not that you can, you know, enjoy any sweets or nothing like that, but you gotta stay disciplined. You know, you can't go up 40 pounds and then 8 weeks training camp and then lose all that weight.
You gonna fight soon, Badu? Coming 6 months?
Inshallah, we work on it. So hopefully by the end of the year, by in December.
Oh,
inshallah.
Saudi?
Hopefully, yep.
It looks like it. Okay.
That'll be good, man.
Yeah.
And then what about you, Tom? Future plans? Like, what's the plan? Grow the brand?
Honestly, I'm different. I just inshallah stay healthy to see my kids, daughters married off.
That means he's richer.
How many kids you have?
No, I'm not rich. I got two twin girls, but because they're daughters, I'm more worried. I know how disgusting society is. I know how men are. Yeah. I was a man. I know how degenerate men are. And you know, I want to teach them Islam.
You said
to a point.
Was a man?
I was a man like those haram boys.
Yeah, I think
you know, like messing around. And I know how I used to manipulate. This brother's getting smart on this one.
He said, "You said I was a man."
You're gonna lose your Saudi sponsors with him, bro. Get that rainbow out of your pocket. Yeah, no, really. And for me, that's it. Because, bro, I've been up, I've been down, I've seen it all. Alhamdulillah, I've experienced money, no money, and. You get to a point where your parents are getting old and I just got to my two girls. I want to raise them to be good Muslim women. You know, just to follow the Khadijas, the Aishas, inshallah, these kind of examples. And once that I can die happy once I know some men are to take care of them, like husbands, you know?
It
might not happen, but that's all I want to do. I want to stay healthy just for them.
Exactly,
I don't chase. I get projects offers all the time, bro. People think I'm arrogant. I just don't turn up. I don't care.
Yeah.
When did it really take off for you though, Tom? Like when did, I mean, because I guess you've been doing TK Fit, what, 2015, but it feels like in the last year or two, you really took off.
But who says it's taken off? You just know me from social. Maybe it's not making money.
Like, yeah, that's true as well.
People think, bro, don't believe social media guys. Like, but it doesn't mean I'm a millionaire. It doesn't mean I'm a billionaire. It doesn't mean I'm, it's just social media. I could pretend I'm a billionaire tomorrow. Anyone can.
Yeah.
You know,
who says, what's defined success, bro? Just because my social media is strong.
Thank Andrew Tate
for that, bro.
Yeah.
Was
that the kind of start of the?
I was always on social, but like people think I'm Vin Diesel or Shrek. So I mean, like I get a mix up of things. But
you just had Steven Seagal chilling there. I thought there was a statue when I first walked in. He was so still. I'm like, is this a real man?
But seriously, so don't leave social media. It doesn't mean I'm successful. I'm just, alhamdulillah, I'm happy. I enjoy everything. as long as I can wake up, I'm praying my kids are happy and I can still move around. I'm good, bro. Like, look, we're just socializing. We're doing a podcast and just enjoying, like, life.
But Tam's humble, but he's big in the UK, man. You know, like, especially for the Asian community, we haven't really had that many heroes. Like,
yeah, he told
President Steve, I know he's Yemeni, but British Asians, we kind of identify with him. Amir Khan, you know, there's certain people, and Tam is, you know, whether he likes it or not, he's not one of those people that we identify with.
I think it's just because I speak out and I'm not afraid of repercussions. Like, we're from different backgrounds and from a place where I don't really fear anyone or things, and people don't like me, they don't like me, I don't really care, you know? Yeah. But I always want to be respected by Muslims and stuff. And if I sometimes say silly things and I'll backtrack, or if I've offended someone, I've got older now, I'll message them and say, look, I didn't mean offense. Sometimes I yap on, but no, I think because I relate to people, I'm not afraid, like I'll say things, you know? And it's got me in trouble before, but I'm quite honest like that, you know? And many people don't like me, many like me, but anyone who meets me will say he's straight up. When you see Tammy, don't lie, and he'll never cheat no one. So that's, alhamdulillah, I can go out like that, I'm happy, you know?
MashaAllah. I want Mutar to answer this question because I know he ain't going to like this one. Devin Haney or Shakur Stevenson?
Man, this is a hard one, because I know the family of Shakur Stevenson. I know his mother, his brothers, but I got to go with my Muslim brother at the end of the day.
Answer.
They're both Muslim, no?
That's
boxing,
a good question.
Just boxing.
Boxing.
Your brothers are back doing that.
Shakur Stevenson? I think Shakur. Me, I think Shakur, definitely.
I agree.
I think Shakur.
I want Devin Haney to win.
Yeah, because...
I played it fifth.
Again?
Nah, bro.
Come on, you got to answer. What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Shakur Stevenson, Devin Haney, quick.
Devin Haney is a Muslim, and I was training his gym when he was a little kid. I've known him since he was 10 years old. So my heart goes in. But I'm a big fan of Shakur Stevenson, too.
Yeah, be a good fight. Let's be honest. It'll be a really good fight.
Stevenson, I don't know. From Newark, you know, he's from my neighborhood.
Same place.
We know the family. One of my close friends, childhood friends, is trainer.
He's named after Park, right?
He's named after Park.
Shakur. In Terrence Crawford's gym. He's always with Terrence Crawford.
Very close.
You think Tank beats them both?
My favorite is Tank. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, he's a beast.
I love watching Tank.
If he kick court, like... Yeah, he's a hard hitter though, you know what I mean?
He's not just a puncher though. He's very, very athletic, very gifted, very talented.
I'm not going to lie, I love Tank's whole... I know it's a lot of haram behavior, but I think his whole character is good for boxing. He brings that kind of drama, you know?
Yeah, so.
He's upset with your former teammate too, I guess. Everybody is.
Who's your former teammate, bro?
I don't know what they're talking about.
Floyd Mayweather.
Bro, name to I Chloe. Just want to go off his I think post. Your post cracked me up because I could never say it, but his post, I had to retweet on Twitter. People getting angry. Your post about that word was the funniest post I've seen. It was one of the best posts I've seen in years, bro. Yeah. That was like a bit of a body shot.
Yeah, Massa.
You get any pushback for this? Anybody message you?
No, because he know what's up, bro.
We can't say that on the podcast.
It's another word about Massa. He's tough in the gym.
Go on Mutar's Twitter.
He tough in the gym. It's outside of the gym. It's a different world, bro.
That was crazy.
I'm interested in what Tam says about this one. Prime Naz or Prime Barrera? Because you know Barrera obviously beat him at the end.
Prime Barrera.
Oh, you still think, even if Naz was in his prime?
I love Naz, my friend, bro. These Mexicans are Mexicans, bro. There's a reason some people retire.
He was in his prime, though, no?
He was Naz at the end, bro, when he fought Barrera.
No, how old was he?
When Naz fought
he was in his 20s.
Yeah, but it's the end of his career, bro. He didn't really train properly.
Brother, I love him. Those Mexicans are a different gravy. Those Mexicans are different gravy. Morales, Marquez, Barrera, that three were coming up. They were dangerous, bro.
But Naz, I love Naz, man. Because when he
you can love him, bro. I love him. But you can be realistic. You might love me, bro. Tyson Fury will beat me up.
Fair enough. You said Barrera too?
Personal.
Huh?
You said Barrera too?
I said I played the fifth.
Again? Yeah, he's a politician. Nah, he's a politician.
Nah, I go with Naz.
This is what they're doing from the money team, bro.
Yeah, because I feel like
he's so political, but off camera, I'm going to record him, Naz.
Give it a real answer.
I'm going to record everything off camera.
In the building.
Because he didn't train properly for this fight, man. If you see the documentaries and stuff, like, he was just, I think the training camps, he just had enough of it, like going away. Because I think his kids were young. Prince Nassim.
I just know, I think he was in his 20s, so you can't say he was in his prime.
Maybe. Brother, study. Study these Mexicans, bro. They're
Mexican.
They're beasts, bro.
It's a similar-ish kind of question. So, prime Tyson, prime Lewis. Because when Tyson fought Lewis, he wasn't really in his prime.
Prime either. Lewis.
Still, huh?
Prime. All day.
A good big guy. All he's a good small guy, this way.
Mike Tyson is managed well. I love him. We have these debates Lewis all the time. Mike Tyson.
Said Lewis. I'm going with Tyson.
Lewis, huh?
Bro,
Tyson's
great to watch. He's a bro, but Tyson was managed great. Yeah, I love him, but the first 20 fights were white men with mustaches, bro. Look at the highlights. They look like my dad. My dad's not white, but they look like my dad from a wedding from Afghanistan.
I go with Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
bro,
that's his close friend.
Brother,
that's why.
Brother, I'm gonna get up on WhatsApp group for this
money
clip.
Team told him really
I've got
money
WhatsApp
team.
Group convo for this group. Barbershop talk.
My brother said he think Lennox
Lewis.
Your brother knows, right? Mu'min Fitness, follow him because for fitness tips, the guy's a beast.
So Lewis the best
but he knows, he knows. Lennox Lewis, and he's probably the greatest heavyweight ever, in my
yes,
opinion.
He might be the greatest.
He might be the greatest
time.
Heavyweight Ali, boxer huh? of all time. As in boxing,
as a boxer.
Yeah. Ali's yeah, everything.
He might have been.
Lennox
yeah,
Lewis had everything.
He beat everybody
bro.
He fought.
Yeah?
If I'm not mistaken.
I swear, bro. I love to.
Everybody really? Lost to, he yeah, rematched
yeah. Tyson, bro, is like, for me, Tupac in that kind of, like, yeah. the, I grew up.
Like a rebellious, like rebellious. People love yeah. him for that rebellious
but Lennox
attitude.
Lewis, bro, was just everything.
You guys will know more than this than me, but Ali beat, like, real greats, like
yeah,
Fraser,
yeah.
Foreman,
Ali,
like,
yeah.
But Lewis, I mean, did he beat any greats? Like,
yes.
Cool. You told me, I don't know, maybe.
He beat Holyfield, he beat Tyson, he beat
brother.
Ray Mercer, yeah.
six
he beat
foot,
everybody.
6 foot, six, 6 or 7. Mm. Big.
Yeah. Rockman.
Perfect
he
jab,
beat
conditioning, knockout yeah. punch. He's built like a perfect fighter.
Yeah. yeah.
And he could move.
He beat all the great fighters in the 90s, he beat him.
Yeah. Beat him
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Klitschko
wow.
as well,
Vitaly,
yeah, Vitaly.
Right? Vitaly Klitschko, yeah.
But Vitaly was doing well in that fight, though. He got a cut, right?
But that was their last replacement as well. You don't forget, 2 weeks notice.
Now he talking about Lennox Lewis beat Klitschko.
Yeah, he did. And it was 2 weeks Lewis. Yeah.
Wow, wow.
He beat his brother, older brother, Vladimir.
Vitaly was the toughest. No, he fought Vitaly, who was tougher.
Yeah, he fought Vitaly, yeah. Damn, bro. I thought you were going to say Tyson, huh?
No, I know he raised up with his cultural icons.
Yeah,
because
yeah. about Tyson, he stood for
the
others.
Story.
Yeah,
it was
he was like,
when
for
you
the
look
streets,
at,
that's
yeah.
what.
Mm. But if you look at boxing, if you look, Tyson wouldn't like to be pushed back. If he was an aggressive bully fighter, but if you put him on his back foot like Holyfield,
yeah.
he didn't like it.
Yeah.
Holyfield Lewis could fight back foot, front foot, everything.
Mm. Yeah.
Count a punch, be attacking, yeah.
Prime Pacquiao, prime Floyd.
Floyd all
easy,
day.
Huh?
Floyd, yeah.
Easy,
Uncle Tom is probably
Uncle
the greatest
Chloe,
boxer
yeah.
ever lived.
Yeah, I think Uncle Chloe.
Could be the greatest boxer ever lived.
Mooney, you say the same?
Ever lived.
It, like, it would have been easier. I agree with you.
We have to agree.
You take away his personal life, I agree
yeah.
with you.
He's the best boxer that ever lived. Floyd Mayweather.
I feel like Pacquiao, because Marquez knocked him out, then he fought. I feel like if he fought Floyd before he fought Marquez, he would have done well.
Bro, Sugar.
Nah, I don't think so, bro.
What was it? Pretty Boy Floyd days? Pretty Boy.
You never saw Floyd fight his early fights?
Yeah, Pretty Boy. Before he was
money. He was knocking everybody out.
Floyd Mayweather is the greatest boxer, in my opinion, that ever lived. Genius. Technically, he's perfect.
Genius in the ring, outside the ring, slow-mo.
Yeah. Well, enough.
Yeah, oh, house Negro.
Damn, bro. My last one's a UFC one. Prime Khabib, prime GSP.
Khabib and who?
GSP, George St. Pierre. That's Khabib's father's favorite
though,
fighter.
Right?
Well, there's different weights, bro.
They were always talking about fighting,
different
though,
weights. Right? You can't measure it because GSP's a weight division bigger.
Because I think they were even saying Khabib was going to come back for him.
Yeah, but he'd have to come down. Khabib in his weight is the best ever in his weight class. But he couldn't go up. It's different. GSP is huge.
If they had to fight though, you think GSP because of the size?
In their peaks? Yeah. It's just bigger. I can't say. You never know. But he's a bigger... It's like Canelo fighting Usyk, you know? In their peaks. Canelo's peaks great as weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to measure, bro.
You took Badu Jaga and said, hey, well, you played the fifth for that.
No, no, Khabib's a brother, obviously. Khabib is superb. But amazing. GSP was superb and he's bigger. It's hard to, it's like saying Mayweather versus Mike Tyson.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You guys, the answer, you
but the best fight in the world.
I don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
I can't.
I don't even know who UFC
I like never, that. I'm not too big of a fan of UFC. I know Khabib, Conor McGregor.
You know, the
that
names.
Might be all.
Yeah.
I just know about Islam and Hamza.
Just thought a Muslim
comes at, what's his name? Kamzat
Chimaev.
Kamzat Islam.
Amazing,
I'm starting to hear about these new names coming up.
You saw James Toney do UFC. It was embarrassing. Like Hamzat, he'd pick up Usyk before he even knows what a jab is.
Yeah.
In seconds, he'd pick him up in the air and throw him on his head.
I feel like it's harder to go the other way.
If
though.
It's MMA, but in boxing, it's different.
Boxing
is harder.
No
boxing,
I think we're going to an MMA fight.
Because they ain't making no money. That's why they ain't doing that.
Would you do it if there was enough money?
Yes, but if somebody...
Wait, are you ready for that kick?
Okay. I'm going to promote this fight.
No, because a boxer will
gonna
fight anybody.
I'm not going to fight anybody.
When if somebody kick me, I'm gonna shoot them with a gun.
Bro, all I know is in MMA, when a brother's got a beard and no mustache and a cauliflower ear, do not fight him.
Dangerous.
And he's from Russia.
Even this guy yesterday that made his debut, I never seen this guy before. Ginger guy, one eye. He was lethal.
Yeah, shout out, he's my brother. He trains with us, Dagestani.
Mashallah.
He went viral. Yeah, but you didn't meet him. He went viral on YouTube because he was in Dagestan and a couple were kissing. He said, "Don't kiss in public, it's haram. Stop acting like an animal." And the guy tried to punch him and he knocked him out. It went viral.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, he's a religious
he beat him up. And
he was his own religious police.
Even bro, yesterday.
He's original UFC. Haram police.
And he's very intimidating looking. Like yeah, he had a hoodie scary, on yesterday. Bro. And their fight broke out in the crowd. He just turned and you see this one eye and everyone just stopped.
But he's got one blue eye and he's ginger. You know he's dangerous, bro.
Wow, that's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, but the reason why they don't, you know, everybody want to do boxing and all these UFC fighter YouTubers, nobody said they want to do MMA. They're making 10 times as much in boxing.
But yeah, no, but I think on average
why they
now,
don't get paid that much in MMA?
But they do if you're a star. Even like, bro, if you go to boxing and these small shows, they're not making anything.
Yeah, but
if
you look at the biggest star, what is that? Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
How much he made in the UFC? 3 million?
No. Every fight, 35 million. Bro,
But before he fought Floyd.
Yeah, but
I'm
know what, I'm not going to say on camera, I know what Khamzat got paid yesterday. Khamzat is not a champion. Yeah. It's a lot of money.
He's happy with it.
Bro, it's a lot of money.
If you compare the biggest, Floyd, Pagel, Fury, the biggest saying, stars in boxing, what they make.
But Conor, with the biggest, Conor's up there. Except for Fury.
Well, what I heard, the
Habib also
Fury
made a lot of money.
50 million. And then Ghana made 10 million and he made 650,000 as the biggest person in UFC.
And Ghana was different, because he was not like he was coming up and through, but like Nate Diaz, these guys made a lot of money as well. I know
UFC taking a lot of a big cut though.
But I'd do the same if I was UFC.
But PFL now apparently paying well. This is why he
signed
with
them. They pay a lot. Peter Murray is a good friend of mine, CEO. He's a very good guy.
Isn't Jake Paul involved with that?
Yeah, Jake Paul's in it. Francis Ngannou. They're in Saudi. They signed a good deal. Pete Murray's a really good guy as well. So I can't wait to watch what they're going to do in the new year.
Man, appreciate y'all, man. Yeah, any more questions?
Nah, I think that's it, really.
Good deal, man. Yeah. Thanks for coming, man. Appreciate y'all, bro. You know, family. Oh, it's good to meet you finally, Tamkhan, man.
I'm like, TK. Thank you. Pleasure.
Yeah, no, thank you for making the time. And thank you to the sponsors, too, by the way.
Shout out to the sponsors. By the way,
By the way,
we got to shout out the sponsors.
Yeah, sure. No, but thank you, brothers. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Taking the time. Inshallah. Thank you, man.